Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to The Arcade. We are Canada's video game radio show here and exclusively on 92.9 Kick FM. It is Winnipeg's indie station, and I am Mike the Legend. Everything needs to be introduced in a, you know, late 90s, early 2000s wrestling style, I feel now.
Yes.
It's an opinion I've developed of late, and, well, I'm starting to enact it in all facets of life.
Yes, and the past several shows of ours, as a matter of fact, as well. But yes, I am, of course, Dennis the Fool Who Doth Been Pitied.
Ooh. My heavens, I believe that's perhaps the most eloquent way to state that Mr. T has run all over you, perhaps even pitied you.
Yes. That's what happens when you watch a bunch of Mr. T videos before recording the show.
Got Mr. T on the brain?
Yes.
How unfortunate.
No, it's not too bad.
Well, it must be unfortunate. I mean, you're a fool who's been pitied, so...
Yeah, but that's basically a term of endearment with him.
I suppose it is, but... Hey, why not? I'm not one to question the logic of Mr. T.
Yes.
He being an entity unto himself that is outside the normal sphere of thought processing?
Sure.
I'll go with that.
Yes.
How about that?
Indeed.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad we established that.
Yes. But, yes, it's good.
It is good, and many things about this are good. It's good to be back here for another week here for Friday, February 4th of the year 2011, and it's good to be back because today's show officially marks the end of our autopilot run.
Yes, you may not have noticed, but the show's been on autopilot for the past month.
Yes, almost exactly a month. Yes, we kind of got away with, well, the holiday break, and then over the course of that break and the days right after, we kind of can pretty much every show for January. It's not because we were lazy. It's not because we were, just didn't care anymore. No, we still cared, obviously cared enough to produce fine new original content for all you fine listeners that we hold so dearly. No, we had a very good reason for being away.
We had a very busy January.
Very busy January, not the least of which our schedules took us out of the country.
Yes, to, as you may have gathered from the last 2 weeks worth of music shows, a thing called MAGFest, which is the Music and Games Festival held in Alexandria, Virginia.
Indeed. Now, if you were a keen listener, you probably picked up on the fact that we spoke about and talked about MAGFest, but in the most general of terms possible.
Yes, we didn't use any past tense, really, since, well, we tried to tiptoe around that, since we had no idea what it would be like at that point when we record the show.
Of course, because we pre-recorded that show, you know, what with canning every show for January.
Yes, of course, previous to going to MAGFest, so now that we're back from MAGFest and that's happened, it was pretty fun.
We can perhaps give a proper digestion and dissertation of what MAGFest was and what the kind of inexperience it was, and it was an enjoyable sort, I must say.
Yes, it was a little bit cramped.
It was a little bit cramped at the Hilton Mark Center.
Yes, the Hilton Mark Center.
One hotel is where all the festivities were contained, and
it was around the clock festivities, 24 hours a day.
This is true, and of course, with a lot of people, a lot of members of the gaming culture, those who would identify themselves as nerds, do not possess regular sleep schedules.
Yes, and this was very conducive to that.
Indeed. So if, say, at 6 in the morning you desire to go play the arcade cabinet of Donkey Kong, you could do that.
Yes.
Assuming it wasn't occupied at that moment.
Yes, which it may have been, because, well, people were still up drinking all night in their hotel rooms, then stumbling down to the arcades and or the jam space.
Ah, yes, the jam space, a popular little section of the MAGFest doings, goings-ons, if you will. A little, I don't want to call it breakout room, banquet room, I guess.
I guess a banquet room of some sort that was kind of had a stage set up, and yeah, if you're a musician, you go up and you just jam with people.
It's true. hence the appropriate name.
Yes.
Now, of course, we mentioned that it was a rather cramped affair because the entire event, the entire Hilton Mark Center Hotel itself, where the events were and where everybody was staying, in addition to the Overflow Hotel, both these hotels were fully booked for MAGFest. And of all the available rooms, 100% occupancy was encountered.
Yes. So when people leave their rooms, suddenly all of the kind of conference areas that the hotels had were all of a sudden almost shoulder to shoulder everywhere with people.
This is true. And even just trying to wade your way through felt like trying to make your way through a mall at Christmas time.
Yes.
You are encountering a sea of humanity. And an entertaining sort, though. You run into all sorts of characters at these kinds of events, at these kinds of festivals. First time that I've been, that I've attended one of these.
Yes, myself as well.
So it was an interesting little affair just to see all the people that you can encounter, and some interesting characters at these kinds of affairs, and you have your standard members of the gaming population who, like any section of the population, any subculture, are outright stereotypes.
Yes.
And that's fine. Good for them. That's what works for them. You have other people who dressed up as their favorite characters from Resident Evil.
Yes, the cosplayers, as they're known.
The cosplayers and the other video games, other Final Fantasy games, manga that tickled their fancy, or some really odd kid who had a wolf puppet on his hand the whole time.
Yeah, I asked a few people that I saw about that, and they asked me, and no one knew what was going on about him. But he was walking around with a camera on a tripod.
A camera on a tripod. I never saw him deploy it once. I just simply saw him walk around with, in one hand, a camera on a tripod, and the other hand was not holding anything except it was covered in a wolf hand puppet.
Yes, and he was there the whole time, just walking around. You could see him around. I don't know if he was talking to anyone or...
I did see him talk to a few people, but I also saw him use the wolf puppet to talk. Now, I don't know if he was talking to people through this wolf puppet, or he was simply playing up the fact he's got a wolf puppet on his hand.
Yes.
I don't know what was going on in his head. I'm better off not knowing what was going on in his head. I'm sure he must have been a nice fellow. I didn't speak to him. I didn't get to know him. I didn't care. Because you could just tell on initial appearances. And this is judging a book by its cover. And I know it's not popular. And I know it's not really something that's, well, a kosher thing to do in this society. Damned if I care. Because we're... Anyone who was there was doing the exact same thing.
Yes.
You see him in the standard stained t-shirt and sweatpants that are hiked up to his armpits. You can just tell. Ooh.
There's something wrong with that guy.
Yes. He's doesn't have an easy go of it. No. In life. And good on you, friend. And then after a while, just I didn't see him for the last 2 days of this festival.
Yes.
So, wolf hand puppet guy, wherever you are, hey,
keep on...
That was horribly insensitive, mind you.
But can't say you weren't thinking it.
Oh, but I thank you for not breaking out into the Colossus roar.
Oh, that was the unfortunate thing that... Well, neither one of us enjoyed, really, about MAGFest.
It was funny when it started.
Yes, hearing it a couple times is funny, but, you know, that the dangerous thing about something like MAGFest is a bunch of people who, you know, frequent the internet all kind of get together in real life, or IRL, as it's often referred to.
Oh, boy.
On the internet. But, you know, these people all, well, most of them anyways, appreciate memes.
Memes are a popular form of entertainment with these people.
Yes, and granted, some memes are funny on the internet.
Indeed.
Some of them can be really, you know, used cleverly. What this was a meme that kind of happened in real life. In real life, they're annoying. they're not funny or anything. I mean, despite what I'm sure the hundreds of people who kept perpetuating this thing may have been thinking, I thought it wasn't funny. I thought it was annoying.
It got terribly annoying after the, really after the first few times, as you did say. And once you got into the later days, like Saturday night and into Sunday, good God, it started to just grate on my nerves. And to the point where I just wanted to punch people doing it. Of course, not following through, but in my mind, I would have felt quite justified. I'm yes. also a horrible, horrible person. That point needs to be clearly stated.
But yes, the gist of it was, there's a sound that the character of Colossus from the X-Men series...
X-Men arcade game in
yes,
particular.
Yes, but he makes, in the four-player arcade game, actually, I guess it's his special move, and you know, anytime you would walk by the people playing this four-player arcade cabinet, you would, at least one person was Colossus and constantly using this move, and everyone was laughing about it. Fine in the game, mm-hmm. but outside of the game, it's kind of, well, not necessary, at least, you know, when you're watching the Proto Men, and then it happens between every single song. Not necessary at all.
No, not necessary. You could literally just walk through the hallway, the main lobby of the hotel, where everything is going on, and pretty much at the drop of the hat, you could get somebody to do that Colossus roar.
Yeah, and then a bunch of other people would join in and do it a couple more times, and then everyone would laugh.
Yep, and then they'd continue on. For 5 minutes until it happens again.
Yes.
Yay!
Yeah.
Good times, but it was an enjoyable affair. I mean, you do have your mix of people there from all different walks of life, and some of the things that you could see it do, of course, as we talked about over the past few weeks, the main thrust of this was the musical performances, the live performances by a number of very talented groups and artists.
Yes.
Of course, the Proto Men being chief among them, from what we saw.
Well, the Proto Men definitely having the biggest fan base, I'd say. and also, you know, numerous other bands such as Power Glove, Arm Cannon, Metroid Metal, the Mini Bosses.
Bit Brigade.
Yeah, Bit Brigade, who I think weren't caught by anywhere near enough people. They were such an incredible audio-visual experience. Bit Brigade.
Thank you. Don't know why. Mental block, clearly. Had the unfortunate luck of the draw of playing on the first night, the Thursday night that the festival opened, which, of course, was a day when everybody was, A, checking into their room, B, trying to get a cot, which, even if you booked one, you weren't going to get one anyway.
Yes, so as we found out.
So instead, you got bumped into a room with a king-size bed and a jacuzzi and a bidet.
Yeah, that was a little awkward.
It was terribly inappropriate, but needless to say, thankfully we were away from the main tower of the hotel where 90% of the guests were staying, so we avoided any sort of loud ruckuses or the need to use elevators, which wasn't a fun mode of transportation.
No, you were better off just taking the stairs, despite the fact that it was a 30-story tower.
Sure was.
But yes.
Anyway.
Bit Brigade.
They were the, I guess, headliners of opening night, Thursday night, which only contained three bands, mind you.
Yes.
But really worth it.
Yeah, we missed the first couple of bands because, we got in a little bit late. Our big little...
travel hiccups.
Travel hiccup with missing a connecting flight and...
5 hours in Montreal Airport, yeah. Which is not the most entertaining of airports, but nevertheless.
No, after a $13 beer, it wasn't really... but anyways, and after making our way through the ridiculous registration line as well.
Indeed, which even at, 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night, still was damn long.
Yes, wrapped around the whole, first floor, I guess, of the hotel. But, yes, once we finally got in there, we caught the majority of Bit Brigade's set.
Indeed.
And, interesting audiovisual experience. They were playing as Ninja Band that night. For more information about them, definitely go to bitbrigade.com or .net or something. It's
or
Bit Brigade.
Google.
Google Bit Brigade.
But the interesting thing about their act is that as they're, I guess, playing the music from a particular game, in this case, a selection from the Ninja Gaiden series.
Yes, the first Ninja Gaiden game.
They also have a player playing along with the game on stage.
Yes, he's playing through the game, and they're providing the soundtrack. And so, basically, they're watching, on a screen on stage, and they're syncing up their playing with what he's playing. on the video game. And the guy beat the game, and it was really enjoyable just watching it do it. You know, it got kind of tense at a couple moments. But, yeah, it's... If ever anyone out there in the internet land or on in Winnipeg gets to see them, gets a chance to see them, that is, don't miss them.
It fully sees that opportunity, and as well, also worth your while is to see Power Glove live and in concert.
Yes.
They put on, they played Saturday nights, one of the, I guess, well, only followed by the Proto Man, who... I guess we're big enough to span both nights, Friday and Saturday night, get two acts. But Power Glove, I know they've been through town before on tour with other bands that I had no interest in seeing,
yes,
unfortunately.
Myself as well.
But they were a last-minute addition to the lineup, and a hell of a good addition to the lineup, I do say. An absolutely spot-on, very, very tight performance.
Yes.
That... they can really, really whip a nerd crowd into a frenzy.
Yes. Even though you can totally tell they're used to playing in front of, like, legitimate metal audiences. Just based on, you know, stage banter and such. But I was a little bit more extreme than the rest of the bands. But yeah.
Certainly used to a more salty crowd.
Yes.
And as we said, I touched on the Proto Man. And for me, the Proto Man were perhaps... the most entertaining act that I got a chance to see that weekend.
Yes, they definitely have their stuff together. They're a very professional band. Yeah, all around, I think, you know, I was blown away by most of the stuff I saw. I thought it was unfortunate that, you know, we couldn't watch everything, because really it was a lot to take in.
There is, and that's maybe one of the downsides, is that you have a lot of everything going on at once. If you don't want to see the band that's playing at that moment, well, you can walk over, make your way to the arcade cabinets, see if there's something that tickles your fancy. If nothing there, then you can walk on in and try the various any number of consoles that are set up with games and whatnot for you to try, which, by the way, afforded me the chance to actually try the Atari Jaguar. And I played the game that perhaps in no way, shape, or form, you know, properly utilize that 64-bit power, Raiden.
Yes. Of course, there were also the panelists.
The panelists, yes. You could get into them.
Yes. We lucked out and got in to see John St. John.
Indeed, which I don't think... I'm pretty sure we cut hundreds of people in line.
Yes.
Because it was after that panel in particular that anyone who was the first to line up held a sign against them saying, "This is the line for whatever panel." Arrow yes. behind.
Yes, and we kind of ducked in at the same time as John St. John did. We all got in line and we're like, "Hey, where's the line?" We all just walked in with John St. John, so it was kind of funny. And then also, interestingly enough, he ended up in, what, three separate house party or room parties that we ended up at?
Something like that. If you ever get a chance to encounter John St. John at a giant festival, he's a party animal.
Yes.
And he basically makes it a mission to try and hop from room party to room party and get take in as many as possible. And he was going to try and set a record that weekend. And his previous time at Magfest, he was at 28, or 27 or 28 room
yes.
parties. He was trying to break that. And this is only a 2-3 day festival. Really, Friday night and Saturday night are the prime party times. Because everyone gets in on Thursday, you're still tired from travel, waiting in line for registration, all that stuff. So you really only have Friday and Saturday. And so by the time we encountered him, he was probably on his 8th initially of the evening.
Yes.
Seeing him later on at 3 in the morning, he was on number...
what, 32 or something?
He was trying to reach 30, but he was on number 26.
Oh, well, then the third time, I saw him after that.
Yes.
And I think he said he was past 30, but he was still trying to set, you know, another personal best.
A new benchmark.
Yes.
In terms of room parties. And the nice thing is, A, John St. John, a totally approachable guy.
Yes.
He's a hell of a nice guy, very down to earth, and doesn't feel, or doesn't give off the air that he's above the gaming crowd, gaming culture at all.
Yes, even though he admitted he doesn't really know a lot about video games, despite being the voice of Duke Nukem.
One of the seminal characters of the 90s. and he's fine with that, because he also readily admits that he's a voiceover whore.
Yes, but that's the way he pays his bills, and he makes no bones about that, and...
Refreshingly honest.
Yes, I mean, he was very, very honest about that, and it was, it's at least, it was a very informative, and yet entertaining panel, I'd say.
Indeed.
Unfortunately, we didn't get to see the Angry Video Game Nerd.
No, the other big act that we wanted to see was, in fact, the Angry Video Game Nerd, and apparently ducking out for lunch at 3:30 on Saturday afternoon put us too late to try and get a spot in line, as hundreds of people had already lined up when we were out grabbing lunch. His panel wasn't until 6.
Yes.
This is how dedicated some people were.
Yes, so for that kind of thing, you kind of have to be ready to stand in a queue.
Indeed, which might explain why walking along, if you'd see a lot of people with their DSs or PSPs or iPhones, whatever other electronic device they had, to tickle their fancy as they sat and waited in line. And literally, the line would go around one corner, down a hall, around another corner, down another hall, and...
just about around the next corner.
Pretty much, yes. There was a line, I believe it was for the Angry Video Game Nerd, that stretched almost all the way to the area of the hotel where our room was, which was about several hallways away.
Yes, and that was kind of disturbing.
And perhaps some of our listeners out there, perhaps you can inform us as to what exactly atop the fourth wall is.
Yeah.
There was another panel that was at this MAGFest, and the line for it was absolutely absurd, yet the people that we were talking to and encountering had no idea, us included, what the sweet hell it was.
Yes.
And what its appeal was.
Or just who any of these people were. I had no idea. I'd never heard of it before.
But they had an absolutely crowded panel room, and it was something else that something else to take in as you're attending, or you could walk along and peruse some of the vendors in the marketplace.
Yes.
Your standard array of people selling, hawking their wares, whether they be retro video games, old video games.
Basically like a video game-centered... flea market, basically.
Yep. Or bead pixel art.
Yes, it was very interesting, and a couple indie labels and such. Then, what was it? Otaku Booty.
I'm not even sure what that was. Otakubooty.com.
We were waiting in line for one of the concerts, and then we ended up in front of this vendor, and we were asking them, well, what is this? And they didn't really give a very good answer of what it was.
their display did not give that much information as to what exactly they are, what they're about, what they do, other than it's a website, otakubooty.com. Some sort of group social networking deal that... I don't know if it's an otaku dating site or what, but okay.
All I know is that they had professionally shot calendars for sale.
Indeed,
and that's all I knew. Beyond that, it was kind of a mystery. Yet they had a very prominently featured position in the vendors area, I'd say.
Very true. Now, granted, it was a small space, so it wasn't hard to get a bad spot. But even still, yeah, they were kind of front and center with a giant red banner saying otakubooty.com. Literally right as you come off the escalator, so probably paid somebody off to get that, and that's fine. That's fine. Or if you wanted to kill a few hours, you could tackle one of the many challenges, specific video game challenges, to see who could accumulate the most... essentially nerd cred points at the end of the festival.
Yes, and when I was speaking with a friend of mine, who we've actually had on the show before, Nario.
Indeed.
The Nick Hagman, who went viral recently for, beating games with a dance pad.
Indeed, and he's everything you would think he is.
Yes, he's exactly the way he acts on the internet is the way he is. That's great. It was refreshing, too.
An absolutely nice fellow. Great fellow to meet, and glad I had the chance to meet him.
Yes.
But continue.
But, yes, he was wearing his shirt from two or three MAGFests ago when he did one of the challenges, because I guess they give you shirts as a prize, kind of like to beef up the bragging rights.
Indeed.
But I asked him, what challenge was that for? And he said, oh, that was for beating, I believe, all of the... beating the whole Dr. Wily stage without dying in, like, I can't remember if it was Mega Man 2 or 4, but one of those two. Beating the entire Dr. Wily stage without dying. That's...
That's a hell of a challenge.
Yes, I can't do that. I don't even know if I can beat the Dr. Wily stages in any of those
games. If you were not faint of heart, there were challenges here that would test even the most seasoned of gamer amongst you. I know I looked at the list and realized there was not really one challenge on there that I could tackle. And you had different assortments of challenges you could take on. You had, medium ones, hard ones, and then absurdly hard ones. And different games from different consoles, and you had to do something specific in the game. As you said, beat Dr. Wily in Mega Man 2 or 4 without dying. Or you could perhaps, in NHL 94, 95 on the Sega Genesis, come back and...
During the third period.
From being down like 5-0 with no goalie.
Yes. Challenges like that.
Yes.
Which aren't really easy.
Or perhaps the only one I thought I might have a chance at until I actually attempted to practice for it was beat the Jungle Mine stage in DuckTales 1 on the NES without collecting treasure. Any
yes.
treasure whatsoever. If you're familiar with DuckTales on the NES, you know that's an impossible task.
Yes, treasure just kind of falls from the sky at random.
And you will collect it. And as soon as you collect it, you fail that challenge.
Yes, game over.
So if you were able to get onto one of the challenge stations, which was difficult because, of course, there's going to be people who just sit themselves in that one area and challenge away.
Yes.
You certainly had a monumental task ahead of you, no matter what you tried your hand at.
Yes. But either way, I would definitely go to MAGFest again, personally.
It was an entertaining sort. Certainly, I'd be curious to know what musical acts they line up for subsequent years.
Yes, and what their plans are for expansion, since I think they've topped out the capacity of this current hotel, from what I understand.
From what I've heard from other people, that even just the amount of people that went to see one particular band was equal to the whole amount of people that went to MAGFest when it started oh so many moons ago.
Yes. And
so it's grown exponentially, probably over 1,000 people there.
3,000.
3,000 was the exact total? That explains why it's crowded.
Yes. It's grown, and it'll probably keep growing. And
the nice thing was, it was so nice and warm there.
Yes, in D.C., the D.C. area.
Indeed.
It was, minus one?
Yeah, you were basically we were basically experiencing temperatures between minus two for a high, maybe zero on one day, or got as low as, minus eight. At nighttime, with a bit of a breeze.
Yes.
So, needless to say, we thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yes, compared to the, minus 40 when we got home.
Yes.
Back to Winnipeg.
When we came back to the nice Arctic chill that decided to greet us again. So, an entertaining affair. An enjoyable little jaunt. And if you're ever there, if you decide to go to MAGFest, then, assuming it's still within the greater Alexandria, Virginia area, it's not unwise to make time just to hop across the way to go to Washington.
Yes, and I mean, there's lots of sights to see in D.C. as well. I mean, we made our way around a little bit.
Certainly, make sure you have ample amount of time. Like, try and make a day for it. 3 hours? Maybe not enough.
Yeah, especially if you were thinking of, let's go to one of the Smithsonian's or something. No. Three hours is nowhere near enough time, my friend.
Certainly the main monuments, like the Washington Monument, even the Lincoln Memorial, are certainly sights worth seeing and very impressive in their enormity.
Yes, their grandiosity.
particularly the Lincoln Memorial, in the fact that everything about it is absurdly huge.
Yes, especially the Statue of Lincoln sitting on that gigantic chair. I mean, if you've seen it in any sort of television show before, it doesn't do it justice.
No.
Like, literally, you know, I'm about 6 feet tall.
As am I.
I was standing, and I was coming up to his shin. Like,
halfway up his shin.
Yeah, like,
you.
I was staring at, like, the middle of his shin. I was like, wow, that's a gigantic statue.
Now, above and beyond that is the fact that you have to go up many flights of stairs to actually get to his memorial. It is up on a hill in a very large enclosure.
Yes.
Which is all surrounded by Roman columns. One thing we noticed, by the way, we're not architecture majors at all, but every government building there is designed in a way to convey a great sense of power.
Yes, very imposing.
And intimidation. And I'm glad we don't have that in Canada.
Yeah, I mean, like, everything there was ornate, just like, you know, lots of our government buildings here are very ornate, mm-hmm. and, you know, very robust and looks very classy, etc. Theirs are very robust and ornate, but very, very foreboding.
Yes.
Like, very oppressive looking. Like, big giant blocks. Like, square blocks.
That are almost entirely featureless.
Yes.
But yet still have just enough to convey the sense of the strength of the state.
Yes, ooh. And each building was distinct enough to know the difference between them.
It's...
But even still, it was very oppressive and... Huh.
And as well, if you've seen, of course, in any sort of media, just even the Pentagon, the home of the Defense Department, that is the most massive building one can ever take in.
Yes.
Even just driving past it on an interstate, you realize, oh, there's the Pentagon. Oh, there's still the side. We're doing like 100 on the interstate. Oh. Still driving, they're still the same side.
Oh, the Pentagon's still there.
Wow. Yep. Okay. Totally worth it. It's totally worth the walk around. And it's just very neat to see all this stuff and take in Alexandria and see even some bus shelters that were done very ornately.
Yes.
And designed not for function, more for fashion.
Yes. But overall, MAGFest, I give it 2 thumbs up.
A worthwhile endeavor, certainly, and interested to see how they expand and what they do to accommodate the growth of it in the years ahead. I've heard that they might actually take it to a convention center.
Yes, though I've also heard that may not happen because a lot of convention centers don't operate 24 hours, and that's kind of one of the things that they require for MAGFest.
True enough, tough decisions to be made in the road ahead for MAGFest, but, well... We went. We can say we went. Saw some great things, saw some great live music, and entertaining all around.
Yes.
And also, as well, I gotta say, worth mentioning, was A Rival.
Yes.
The, I guess, not really chiptune rapper, but video game-centric rapper.
Well, he's... I'd say chiptune rapper. Like,
chiptune rapper, too?
He also... he's also kind of around the chip scene as well, the whole chiptune scene. Like, he does a lot of legitimate Nintendo stuff. Like, the man knows how to program stuff.
Fair enough.
And, but yes, a good rapper nonetheless with catchy songs.
A good rapper with catchy songs all the same. And, we actually got to see him and watch him, test out a new, hook to his live performances.
Yes.
Literally watching him code on the fly at times.
That was very, very interesting, yes.
It was a little awkward, but I respect the effort. You know, various things. A program where you'd hit a button, presumably, or spacebar.
Yes.
If something's not working. And he would display the name of a game, have a certain amount of time, and he'd have to, I guess, rap about it.
Yes, freestyle rap about it. And it was all legitimate because we saw him enter in the game names into the code on the fly, and then he would go through them all and go, okay, yeah. Rapping along with the beat. It's ridiculous.
Oh, okay, guys, need some more games. We just gave you like 2 dozen. Wow. All right, but so certainly you see weird, you know, things like that, that I guess because of its somewhat intimate nature, I mean, it's big, but it's not overly big.
Yes.
That, you know, these artists can have such interactions. So entertaining stuff all the same, and yeah, MAGFest, hopefully here's to next year.
Yes.
But needless to say, stuff's been going on in the world of video games while we were on autopilot there.
Yes.
So, of course, conveniently, the last 2 weeks needed to be all music broadcasts. But that being said, we are back to business as usual, getting back to the news of the world, the latest and greatest, if you will, from the world of video games and electronic entertainment in the larger perspective. And, of course, we have to start off with, as we always do, the ludicrous lead-offs.
Yes, the news stories that are a cut above the remainder of the news stories. We have a couple of doozies this week.
Indeed. And I guess they are appropriately football-centric, given that the...
Well, the Super Bowl is impending.
Indeed, this coming Sunday, between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Green Bay Packers, contesting for the Vince Lombardi Trophy and Super Bowl 45 from North Arlington in Texas, the billion-dollar stadium, the house that Jerry Jones built.
Yes.
Anything else you want me to go on about?
No, that's fine for now.
All right. But, of course, football and sports games in general play a very large part of the, you know, any software library for any console, any system, any electronic device is going to have an immense array of sports titles, whether they be, you know, the ones from EA or 2K games, or even perhaps non-licensed properties like the backyard hockey ones, or even the old days of mutant football, or mutant league football rather.
Yes, or Base Wars, etc.
Base Wars, good call. So at the start of January, there was an announcement that there's going to be a new football game coming out. And it was going to feature Jerry Rice, Hall of Fame wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers and Oakland Raiders, and to a lesser extent the Denver Broncos, but mainly San Fran.
Yes.
Jerry Rice.
Yes, dubbed by many as the greatest player of all time.
Certainly, when you've got a quarterback who's Joe Montana, he's going to make you look good.
Yes.
You just have to catch it. But at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas that took place at the start of the month of January, it was announced that Jerry Rice is going to be a part of a new football title for the Wii, as he was officially named to be the new commissioner of the Pets Sports League. And he and his dog, Nitus, will be the cover... carbon-based life forms for the new game, Jerry Rice and Nitus's Dog Football for the Wii.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes. And what is this game?
Aside from an abomination.
Yes. Okay, well, wait. Let's break it down like this.
Please do.
Jerry Rice doesn't play football in this game.
No.
No. What he does is he manages a team of seven dogs who play football, and I guess there's other human managers as well for other dog teams.
Yeah, essentially the development company basically signed on Jerry Rice to Judo Baby is the name of the developer, and they signed on Jerry Rice to act as their commissioner of their pet sports league, which they are starting off with a football title, and I guess hope to expand to many other sports games. I don't. Anyway, so he's signed on to quote unquote guide future development in accordance with authentic sports rules and practices.
Yes, and
go on, take the money and run.
Yes, and apparently, well, they try to hook us in with all the selling features of the game here.
Of course,
near the end here of this little description, I guess, of the game. They say that players will be able to choose from 14 different playable quarterbacks and 20 different dog breeds, including golden retrievers, boxers, Scottish terriers, and poodles.
Even better, the players will also be able to customize their team as they see fit, outfitting them with various uniforms, hats, and shoes.
Yes.
You get to dress up your dog and make it play football. In terms of actual gameplay, why you want to know, I don't know, but I'm going to tell you. Apparently this game, Judo Baby, is aiming for it to be a game of 8-on-8 football, with human quarterbacks being the field generals and managers, and they'll be in command of 7 canine teammates.
Yes.
Though, apparently in their press release, it's not as simple as a game of fetch, as players must direct their doggy receivers around obstacles in a dozen different themed playfields, including hills and streams.
But I thought that they actually hired Jerry Rice to keep authentic rules. You don't traditionally build a football field with a stream in the middle of it.
Or a hill. I can't imagine the hollowed grounds of Lambeau Field having a giant doggy hill in the middle. It certainly would up the, I guess...
It would raise the ire of many a
football purist.
Many a football fan.
And perhaps everyone else who just has common sense. Needless to say, that's not going to stop Jerry Rice and Nitus's football game for the Wii.
Yes.
Also, Nitus is his dog, if I didn't mention.
Yes, I think you did.
Well, his dog's in the game, and I'm sure he had his agent negotiate a separate, you know, likeness contract for his dog.
Yes. But, well...
Good job, Jerry Rice. You couldn't just join in with, you know, Randy Johnson and Emmitt Smith and all those Just for Men hair coloring commercials? You needed money that bad? I'm sorry to sound so cynical, people, but for God's sakes, he's Jerry Rice. He's one of the greatest wide receivers the game of football has ever known. He's a Hall of Famer, and that doesn't even seem like a sufficient accolade, though it's the highest accolade he can get from the sport. Yet here he is, in a dog-based football game. And he's the commissioner of the Pet Sports League. Does that not scream, I'm desperate for cash?
I think it does, but...
What? I'm sorry, you can't hawk your likeness for any sort of menswear company, a restaurant, maybe start your own line of rice burgers or something? Or rice patties?
Something like that, yes.
Some sort of health food line, nutrients, supplements, whatever. You're a former professional athlete. People are going to take what you say to heart. Or even be in the Nutrisystem commercials with Dan Marino, Don Shula, and other former athletes.
Or go the Michael Jordan route and, you know, negotiate, you know, a legacy-based sports game.
Or that,
based
too?
Around yourself.
Well, maybe he did, and this is it.
This is how he remembers it. Well, when I was going through the dog football league, Jerry Rice has gone crazy.
Wow, he took one too many blows to the head. Oh, okay, we need better helmets in all of sports now. Thanks.
Thanks, Jerry Rice.
Anytime, champ. Thanks for being the canary in the coal mine.
Man.
Next story.
Yes, we'll move along now to a far less offensive story.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But still tying in with the football theme again, because the Super Bowl is this Sunday, and of course, for many people, the main selling point is the commercials that play in between. In particular, consume the first 2 hours of the game.
Yes, even though, well, they are good commercials.
They are very good commercials, and you can see for many different companies and products, or even movie trailers for all the big summer releases. I know this year there's at least half a dozen good ones for the likes of the Green Lantern movie, Captain America, Thor, and many others. But apparently there's going to be a commercial for the trailer for a new movie called Rio. It's a DreamWorks animated movie about some bird who goes to Brazil. I don't really know. I don't really care.
Bird-based animated movie. Yada, yada. Gotcha.
There you go.
Yes.
That's not what's interesting. That's not why we're telling you about it.
No, the interesting thing about this is that...
it's got a tie-in.
Yes, if you PVR this commercial and then scan through it frame by frame, you will find what I'm assuming is a QR code for your iPhone.
Indeed.
Which you take a picture of it, scan it in with your iPhone. You've seen those QR codes before. They're those, like, square... They look like square UPC codes, basically, with a bunch of wacky, like, squares, like, black and white squares, various sizes.
Indeed.
You'd know what they are if you saw them. I mean, they're on everything now.
Popping up in newspapers and, well, people's T-shirts, I'm sure, so...
Yes, but, yes, in this case, it's in a single frame in this trailer for this movie. What you can do is... You scan it, and if you have the hit game by the development studio, Rovio, which you may if you have an iPhone, it's called Angry Birds.
Seems very likely if you have any sort of iDevice.
Yes, I mean, it's a really fun game if you haven't played it, by the way, which I've played it, and I enjoy it.
It's what helped kill time in Montreal Airport.
It sure did. But yes, Angry Birds, it will unlock a new level of Angry Birds.
Indeed. And not only will it unlock a new level in the game of Angry Birds, it will also allow the player to, I guess if they complete the level, enter into a sweepstakes to attend the world premiere of this new movie, Rio, in Rio de Janeiro.
On March 22nd.
On March 22nd.
Which is a very neat tie-in, I'd say, even though unfortunately I'm going to assume it's there's probably a restriction to the just the United States or something like that on it, but I'm sure getting the level at least would not be limited to that.
I'm sure they'd want as many people as possible to actually get the level.
Yes.
And then that means people actually, you know, maybe PVR'd the commercial or posted it online, which seems like a far more likely option.
Yes. But yeah.
So interesting that, I guess, even just a bit further, the worlds of video games, and I don't know how much more mainstream you can get beyond the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And a Super Bowl commercial, which costs many millions of dollars. It's not a cheap affair. It's not a sandwich board against, you know, being worn by some homeless person on the street. It's a very to-do affair.
Yes, it's a very big, big thing, and it has been for a number of years.
Indeed. It will never not be a big thing. So that's, I guess, the worlds are starting to merge even more. That's what I'm trying to get at. In a roundabout way, without quite knowing what I'm saying at the same time. These things do happen.
Yes, but what I like about this story is the fact that, well, technology is really up to that point now where you can just kind of toss things that you can scan using a computer device into anything. A freeze frame of a movie trailer just, you know, popped up on like a shampoo bottle, which I've seen.
That's kind of creepy.
Kind of creepy, but oh well.
Well, it's there. Do? Might as well scan it.
Yeah.
Gotta scan them all.
Yes, since it's Pokemon now.
Clearly.
But, yes. And maybe it's just my, you know, growing up in the 90s brain making the connection, but this is like really seeing the full potential of those old UPC Fighter games. Remember that? Do you remember that game? I think it was called UPC Fighters, where you would take household UPC codes and then, you know, it would scan them in and generate stats, like character stats based off them, and then you'd have, like, you know, you would pit them against each other and see which one wins.
I vaguely remember that.
This is like that to like the next step of that, I think.
Clearly someone who, you know, was a child of that has gotten into the field of technology development and is trying to recapture their youth, but ridiculously so.
Yes.
And I respect that.
So do I. It's very entertaining.
And as well, am I the only one who just kind of finds it humorously bizarre that, you know, you have Angry Birds being a part of something to do with the Super Bowl? This, you know, small development game that has exploded into absurd amounts of popularity, being a part of the largest sporting event on the face, you know, one of the largest sporting events in the year. I don't know. It's funny. It's hard for me to wrap my brain around that.
It's definitely something, the American dream.
We'll go with that.
Yes.
I like it.
All right.
Well, that thus concludes this edition of the Ludicrously Offs.
Yes, 47 minutes into the show.
Yes. Well, we've done worse. But perhaps we should get to some of the main news that has transpired in our absence, our somewhat malaise, but mainly absence.
Yes.
The 3DS, that old chestnut.
Yes, that thing that we're looking forward to getting our hands on and trying out, because it really seems like there's no way where you can kind of experience it otherwise.
Indeed. Of course, the device that was announced for a to be released at some point in 2011, and Nintendo has said it would come out sometime in their, you know, first quarter of 2011, which kind of narrows it down to the first few months, sometime by the end of spring. It was in the middle of January that they announced a solid release date, not only solid release date, solid price point for the device to come out in North America.
Yes, a $249.99 price point.
Screw it. $250.
Yeah, $250 price point on March 27th.
March 27th. Mark it down on your calendars if you haven't already, or if you've evolved beyond the need for such primitive forms of date tracking, put it into your iPod, iPhone, BlackBerry, Android.
Google Calendars. Make a Facebook event.
Yes. There you go.
Look for an already existing Facebook event to invite yourself to.
even better.
Yes.
March 27th is the date that you'll first be able to get your hands on this thing. This little device that can do, again, 3D without glasses. The announcement came at a, I guess, press conference in New York, and Reggie Fils-Aimé, the 23-foot wonder of the world, made the announcement. And as well, he said that there will be over 30 games within the handheld's quote-unquote launch window. So those are games that launch either with the game right away, first day, March 27th, or between that and E3 in the start of June, so within the first 3 months.
Yes, though we can expect the remake of Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time to be in March.
In March, yes. It's been announced for a launch title. A hell of a launch title.
Yes, so that should be kind of interesting.
Very interested as well. And, of course, the further iterated or reiterated, this device still going to be able to do 3D video playback, and Nintendo planning to work in tie-ins with various movie studios such as Disney, DreamWorks, Warner Brothers, though anything official beyond that yet to be announced. However, they did announce that, I guess, installed on every 3DS will be something called AR games, augmented reality games.
Yes, they are kind of all the rage in the tech blog world. And have been for a little bit now.
Indeed, and one of them will be some sort of face-shooting game, which takes advantage of the, I guess, device's cameras, where you can take a picture of your friend's face, and that face then becomes the face of every enemy in the game. And, of course, you have to shoot all the enemies. So you literally are blasting your friend's face.
Yes.
Which sounds really creepy, but further to that is the fact that there's a gyroscope built into the device, so you have to tilt, move, and literally move yourself around in order to change your perspective within the game. Again, further taking advantage of the game's cameras.
Yes, and the 3D projection into your brain.
Which is soon to happen, and as if that wasn't enough, there will also be a pedometer within the system as well to track your, for various games, track your movement throughout the course of the day, presuming you keep this device on your person, or in your backpack, or just really want to be a jerk and kind of bounce it up and down on your leg.
And though they probably have a safeguard against that.
Probably, but I doubt that.
Well, other pedometers do have a safeguard against that, too, so
They've outsmarted the system?
Yes.
Curses.
Well, ultimately, you're the only one you're tricking when you're doing that is, yourself.
I feel better about making it look like I got close to 10,000 steps. It's an impossible number to reach. I don't know how people do that.
Yes.
Even taking stairs. Whatever. Anyway. So there is that as well. Again, March 27th is when you'll be able to get it. With still quite the array of titles announced for it. Of course, Kid Icarus going to be coming out within that launch window, but a game that's also getting a lot of buzz as it still gets shown off is Super Street Fighter 4 from Capcom.
Yes, the 3DS edition.
Indeed, as it's very close in terms of graphical power to its Xbox 360 counterpart.
Yes.
As people are quite amazed that this is on a handheld device. And as well, just a little note, one of the main attractions of the Wii and its, I guess, social aspects, the friend codes, apparently that gets changed on the 3DS. I don't know, don't recall if we've talked about this before, just briefly touch on it, that all you really need now is one friend code per person.
Which is good.
Yes, further streamlining the terribly cumbersome system that they had for their console system.
Yes, that was definitely where Nintendo failed, where PlayStation and Xbox didn't fail.
Indeed.
Since they already had that kind of streamlined. But, yes.
Indeed. So
glad to know they figured it out.
Apparently, though, worth noting that their web browser, that of course they plan on having with the 3DS and their eShop, will not be available first day. Those will come in a firmware update, software update, after the initial launch of the 3DS, which might be of a chagrin to some. However, I'm sure it'll take them a while to get accept the fact of, wow, this is 3D without glasses in my hand. Oh my god. This is absolutely absurd.
I know, I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be a hell of a thing. Again, March 27th is when you'll be able to get your hands on it. $250 is the American price point. You can assume the Canadian one will be in and around that range, if not slightly more, because, well, apparently we get shafted sometimes. That's all.
Yes, despite the fact that our loonie is doing, well, at least as good as the American dollar these days.
It's true, and on some days, better than.
Yes.
Who are we to understand the, I guess, market factors that affect the value of the Canadian dollar against the American peso?
Yes, we can say that now. The shoe's on the other foot. But, yes.
So there is that. Again, you know, not only is the fact the technology so impressive with the 3DS, but I can't help but go back to the fact that they've got such a strong commitment from other developers, third-party developers, not just bringing new games, but bringing name games, recognizable names, to this system already. As I said, Super Street Fighter 4 going to be part of the launch window, as well a Tecmo Dead or Alive game, which we've talked about previously, motion control boobs.
Yes.
In 3D.
Indeed.
Merry Christmas, everybody. But, you know, Resident Evil games as well, and eventually a Metal Gear Solid game.
Yes, I believe they were remaking Snake Eater for it.
Indeed. As that was shown off at last year's E3 event. And at some point, Nintendo planning to have the digital storefront, the eShop, where you'll be able to, I guess, download and play some relative degree of 3D older Game Boy titles and Game Boy Color titles.
Yes.
Which, there's an absurd back catalog of Game Boy titles.
Yes, there are. Well, don't forget, the Game Boy was around for the whole life of the Nintendo, and just about the whole life of the Super Nintendo.
This is true.
I mean, there were like 600 titles for the original Nintendo, or 670-something, I believe, officially licensed Japanese titles. I don't know how many of them came over to North America. But then there was like also a similar number for the Super Nintendo. And oftentimes, companies would make a Game Boy, quote-unquote, version of, you know, the game franchise thing for the a version of the game for the Game Boy mm-hmm. at the same time. So, even though it would be a different game, so that's a huge catalog of Game Boy games.
That is a huge-ass back catalog, and you know, it won't take long for Nintendo to put out the original Pokemon games in 3D.
Well, no, they'll probably be among the first rung, I'd say, since they were probably some of the most popular Game Boy titles.
Certainly were. Then you can get into the, I guess, older ones that kind of started the Game Boy on its path, such as Super Mario Land and Tetris.
Yes.
Though I'd imagine someone will come out with their own 3DS version of Tetris with more bells and whistles than what the first title had to offer.
Yes.
Yes, the 3DS, again, March 27th, for $250, is when you'll be able to get your hands on it. Now, the downside is there's been no official price point really announced for the games themselves yet, and many analysts, from what I've read, are anticipating the games being around a $50 price point, which could be prohibitively expensive.
Could be. Well, though, let's not forget that back when the Game Boy was still new, it wasn't uncommon to see $40 and $50 Game Boy games.
This is true, and you are getting 3D without glasses.
Yes. And I mean, well, that's not even to mention previous generation console titles, and even current generation console titles still. I mean, a lot of them aren't 3D without glasses.
This is true.
I mean, despite the fact that they're console titles, but still, there's still equal amount of effort put into a console title, I'd say, along some of these handheld games.
No, I completely agree with your point. I mean, a lot of these, you know, multi-platforming has always been the name of the game, and I think we've talked at a fine enough length about the 3DS, and again, March 27th, $250.
Yes.
But, well, odd as it happens, time seems to be unfortunately running out on this week's edition of the Arcade. We do not even have time for a blast from the past this week, unfortunately,
no,
people. Our espousing and recanting tales of Magfest seems to have taken up the majority of this week's show.
Yes.
Which is amazing how that happened.
Yes, it is.
But, oh well, these things happened, and we hope you enjoyed our Magfest story, and perhaps it will have piqued your interest in attending a future Magfest event. And if
perhaps
we'll
put a junket together.
Ooh! Team Winnipeg.
Yeah, Team Winnipeg, let's go! Woo!
Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe, well, who knows. But
we'll see. We'll make a Facebook event.
Yes.
Team Winnipeg attends Magfest. Done. Cut it, print it, ship it. I like it. But yes, that wraps up this week's edition of the Arcade, as we have but an hour, and it flies by every week. But we are here every Friday night at 7 p.m, and we air again Sundays at 6 p.m. You can email us, thearcade@kick.fm, and if you know the answer, do let us know what exactly is the appeal of Atop the Fourth Wall. Because still for Magfest, for many weeks ago, we are still befuddled by it.
Yes.
And as always, you can drop us a line on our own website, thearcadeshow.com. So until next week, everybody, when it's our 5-year anniversary, good night, everybody.
Good night.